It's probably not the highlight of your week or month, but there is money to be had in taking your used bottles and cans back for the deposits, and there will be more money in that process in Oregon in a few weeks. Effective April 1st, the nickel a bottle return becomes a dime a bottle and can. Yes, you'll pay a higher deposit, but you'll get that much back when you take the empties back. It's one of several tweaks to Oregon's decade-old bottle return law in the recent past and changes that'll continue into the future. Two guests join us. Sherilyn Burchess is the Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative Public Relations and Outreach Coordinator. She joins us by phone. Hi, Sherilyn.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to have you here. And for a local perspective, not directly related to the nickel deposit or dime a deposit bottle, Jamie Rosenthal is a Waste Zero specialist for Recology Ashland Sanitary in the studio with me. Jamie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sherilyn, let's start with you. Tell us a bit about the Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative, what it is, how it started, and where the money goes.
Sure. So the Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative is a co-op that's formed of most of Oregon's beverage distributors. So in Oregon, the bottle bill essentially puts the responsibility of picking up return deposit containers onto the distributors. They're responsible to pick up any containers that are returned to retailers that have originated from them, and they're responsible for starting the recycling process on those containers. So it really just makes sense in Oregon, since you can return different brands to different stores, to have a co-op that represents everyone. That way we're able to go out, pick up all the containers that are returned, and do it a lot more efficiently.
Has the cooperative existed since the beginning of the bottle bill, or did it form over the years as more things were added to the deposit program?
It did form over the years. Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative actually started officially in 2009. However, it came out of a company called Container Recovery that had been picking up containers for some other distributors for a good probably 20 years. Early on, as you probably know, the only containers that were covered by the bottle bill were beer and soda. And over time, there's been a lot more, you know, craft brew. There's water was added to the bottle bill. There's just been a lot more containers to pick up and to get recycled. And so that's what we do as a cooperative.
When the waters, for example, were added to the bottle bill, did that make the number of returns zoom?
It did. We definitely saw an increase in volume for sure, because it was all water and flavored water. So that really increased our volume, and that also increased our distributor membership. So that was a big change for us.
Let me talk about the effect locally, too, with Jamie Rosenthal. Any estimates on how many of the deposit containers end up in bins, example, placed at the curb for you to pick up at Recology Ashland Sanitary?
You know, I think that we get quite a few bottles and cans in our recycling. I mean, back when the bottle bill was created in the 70s, there wasn't curbside recycling available. And the bottle bill did a really great job of letting people know that this material is not trash. It's something that is a commodity. It's worth something. Today, you know, we have our curbside recycling. A lot of people, you know, some people choose to go and redeem their bottles. Other people have made the decision, you know, maybe I don't want to drive all the way to the store to redeem those bottles. I'll just put them in my curbside recycling. And that's what my interest is, you know, that people get these things recycled. And I believe that they're doing that.
So what do you do with them? I mean, I can't imagine that anybody at Recology is going to go plucking the nickel and soon to be dime containers out of the recycle bins to take them down to the redemption center. So what do you do with them?
So if it's a glass bottle, it goes to a company called Glass to Glass in Portland, and it becomes new glass. If it's a can, it goes in with the co-mingle, and it eventually goes to a material recovery facility where it's sorted and recycled.
So is that the same place where the materials are going to end up from the nickel returns, the soon-to-be dime returns?
You know, it might be. I'm not sure.
So let's place that back to you, Sherilyn. So, I mean, if somebody places the stuff at curbside, is it going to ultimately end up the same place as it does taken back through the deposit system?
Not necessarily. So anything that's brought back through the Oregon bottle bill or returned for a deposit, the glass is going to end up essentially at the same place. Our glass goes to glass where they color sort it, and then it eventually ends up at Owens, Illinois, who pretty much exclusively makes new bottles out of it. Our aluminum containers do go, first of all, let me say that since we only accept or we only need to pick up plastic, aluminum, and glass, and because those items are sorted on site, they're either sorted by the hand count of a staff member at a grocery store or a bottle drop center, or they're sorted by a reverse vending machine. We have only three commodity types to deal with, and they're pre-sorted. So we have very little contamination, and we have what we call a very clean recycling stream. So we're able to recycle pretty much everything that comes to us. Now that means our aluminum is able to go to directly to an aluminum smelter. Unfortunately, there aren't any here in the Northwest, so those do go to the Midwest and pretty much exclusively become new aluminum cans. And then all of our plastic goes out to a plant in St. Helens, Oregon called Orpet. And there it's flaked and washed and processed so it can be used by a variety of manufacturers to create new products like plastic strapping and polyester thread and new clamshells for fruit and things like that.
And we've seen the futons stuffed with old chunks of plastic bottles and stuff like that too.
Yeah, plastic has a lot of reuses. It's quite interesting.
We're talking about the recycling of bottles and cans. In Oregon, the nickel-a-bottle deposit becomes a dime-a-bottle deposit as of April 1st. Sherilyn Burgess is the Public Relations and Outreach Coordinator at the Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative. Jamie Rosenthal in the studio with me is from Recology Ashland Sanitary, where she's a Waste Zero specialist. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Sherilyn, has it been since OBRC formed in 2009 that we started to see these centralized redemption centers for bottles and cans, the reverse vending machines all clustered in one place?
It was shortly after that. So we started a pilot project in late 2010 where we tested our first bottle drop center. It's been a lengthy process because, like I said, it started out as a pilot project. It needed to be approved by the legislature and also by the OLCC. So we started with three different locations over the course of about a year and a half, 2 years, and we tested the success of those locations. And then in 2013, the legislature approved a statewide rollout of what we call our bottle drop redemption centers, where we offer several different ways to return your containers. We offer a staffed, clean environment, and that's when those centers started to be built a little bit more quickly. Right now we have 19 centers open across the state, and eventually we're hoping to open 45 statewide.
And so what's the rule for if a redemption center is open, whether a store has to take returns or not?
So the rule is that, first of all, only retailers who are 5,000 square feet or larger are allowed to participate in the redemption center. And participation basically means they pay into the center to help pay for that project. The bottle drop centers are zero-profit projects, so everyone sort of shares part of the cost. When I say everyone, I mean retailers and distributors. So you have to be a large grocery store to participate. You also have to be within a certain radius of the bottle drop center itself. So large retailers that are within a 0 to 2 mile radius of the center can stop accepting deposit containers as long as they're participating in the program. That it's because we sort of take over their bottle bill obligations, you could say.
Okay, so
and
so
then large retailers that are within a 2 to 3.5 mile radius can participate, but they do have to continue to accept 24 containers per person per day.
Okay, so participating within 2 miles of the redemption center, the store that sells you the container doesn't have to take it back.
That's correct.
Above a certain size. So what is the reason for the nickel going up to a dime on April 1st?
That's something that was passed by the Oregon legislature in 2011 that looked at the redemption rate in Oregon, which has gone down over the years, and it was essentially looking at the effect of inflation and seeing that, you know, the 5 cents simply is not worth what it used to be, and they put into place a bill that said if the redemption rate is below 80% for 2 years in a row, starting that measurement in 2014, that the deposit would go up to 10 cents to re-incentivize people to participate in Oregon's bottle bill and continue returning containers, especially those containers that tend to end up more as litter. They aren't consumed in the home as much, and therefore they're more likely to end up as litter.
Which containers are we talking about there?
We're talking about things that anyone is going to be consuming on, you know, a camping trip or a hike or out in the park. So your single service type of beverages, you know, the beers, the sodas, the waters, things like that.
So what's been the trend? I wonder, since the redemption centers began opening, what has been the trend, and if maybe they're playing a part in the reduction of the rate at which people are returning their deposit bottles and cans?
Well, what we've actually seen, Jeff, and this is really interesting, is in every area where we have a bottle drop center placed, we see an average of a 20% increase in redemption. Unfortunately, in 2015, which is the last year that we have redemption numbers, we only had a handful of centers open at that point, so I don't think that increase was enough to affect the state needle, so to speak.
Jamie Rosenthal at Recology Ashland Sanitary. I mean, since the rate has been dropping statewide, is there a noticeable increase in people just leaving the stuff, their nickel deposits in the recycle bins to be picked up curbside?
You know, I think people are left with the choice. You know, back when it was a nickel, people might have thought, hey, you know what, it's not worth the nickel that I'm going to go, you know, take all this stuff to the store. People are busy. It's easier for me to just throw this into my commingle cart. 8 out of 10 people have commingle recycling. So, you know, maybe when this, you know, goes up to 10 cents, people will start redeeming their bottles and cans more. I think, again, the important issue is that this material is being recycled. And, you know, Oregonians take great pride in recycling.
And as a Waste Zero specialist, that's what you want to see, is that everything gets where there's nothing left over.
Exactly. And I think we will continue to take great pride in recycling. People have a choice now. You know, I think there's three options. You go and you get your bottles redeemed, you throw it in your curbside recycling, or you throw it in your trash. And I think the least likely of all these scenarios is that people are throwing it in the trash. You'd have to be living under a rock to think that that's what you do with bottles and cans.
All right. I was going to ask you if people still ask you about what to do with the deposit bottles and cans, even though the system's been in place since the 70s. It sounds like few people throw them in just the trash.
Very few.
We are talking about Oregon's bottle recycling law, which changes from nickel container deposit to a dime a container deposit as of April 1st. Jamie Rosenthal, you just heard, is with the Recology Ashland Sanitary. She's a Waste Zero specialist. Sherilyn Burgess is the public relations and outreach coordinator for the Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a phone call from Connie in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, folks. I have a question. Here in Eugene, of course, we have a large university, and I noticed that a lot of them use a lot of energy drinks, tea drinks, as well as a tremendous amount of hard cider, and those weren't covered by the original bill, and I was wondering if there is new coverage for those so that people will be more incentivized to recycle them or take them back to get the deposit.
Now, Sherilyn, I understand there is new coverage, but not April 1st.
That's correct. That is an excellent question. We get that question a lot here. Why is this energy drink not covered, but this flavored water is? It doesn't make any sense. And the truth is, it really kind of doesn't make any sense, in that it's just the way the language was written for the original bottle bill back when those containers did not exist. Now, in 2018, January 1st, 2018, we are going to see a lot more containers added to the bottle bill. This is also something that was passed through the legislature a few years ago, and you're going to see pretty much any type of single-service beverage container added to the bill now. Anything that's between 4 ounces and a liter and a half that is not milk, wine, or hard liquor is going to be on the bottle bill. Things that are come in like pouches or boxes will not either, but anything that's in a can or a bottle of sorts. And again, that's to try to capture those containers that are often consumed outside of the home.
Is there I wonder if it's a recycling reason for not including milk, wine, or hard liquor, or more of a social reason? You want people to take a little longer to drain those bottles.
Exactly. You know, there's a couple of reasons, but a large part of the reason comes back to what I was just saying about containers that are consumed outside the home. So you might see people drinking, you know, an energy drink around the campfire. Rarely are they drinking like a gallon of milk or something like that. So you just don't see those containers becoming litter as much. So that's a large part of that focus.
Okay. I want to take another call here, and I'm not sure if I'm talking to Dennis and Eugene. Is that you?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks. Say, I wanted to give a suggestion about how to collect bottles. When my boys were young, my oldest boy, when he was nine, he came to me, he said, "Dad, can I collect our bottles because I want to get the nickel for them?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And so him and his brother started collecting the bottles, and then one day he came in and he said, "You know, Dad, I have an idea." He said, "I'm going to ask some of the other kids if they want to collect bottles, and if they collect them, I'm going to give them 3 cents, and then me and my brother, we'll haul them all to the grocery store and then pay everybody up." And I said, "Well, that's okay, but you got to keep books." And so he got a book, and my wife showed him how to keep track of things. And this was at the beginning of the summer, and by the end of the summer, they had about 12 kids plus themselves that were collecting bottles around the neighborhood. And it got to be where people would actually save the bottles for all the kids. The little kids were making some money that they wouldn't have had otherwise. Our kids were making money, and all the bottles were getting collected. So, you know, maybe there's ways to get people to do this that we haven't explored yet.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate that, Dennis. Sherilyn, how much money comes in through bottle deposits every year in Oregon?
Well, it's quite a bit. Now, I'm loving the story that he just told, because not only is it kids really learning about both recycling and business, which is awesome, but it really brings me to a point of talking about our fundraising programs, which is really an exciting part of the Bottle Drop Centers and the Bottle Bill in general. We have about 1,500 nonprofits that work with us either through our plant locations or our Bottle Drop Centers to collect containers for different nonprofits and different types of causes, and they're able to. We offer them a couple of different ways they can do that, and it's been very successful. Many fundraisers are able to raise a lot of money through container collection, and obviously all those containers also get recycled. So it's something that we really want to make people aware of, that, you know, if you're not too interested in the nickel or the dime yourself, you know, there's some really easy ways to give that money back to the community that could really make a big difference.
I want to take another call here. Let's go to Dick in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sherilyn Burgess and Jamie Rosenthal. Dick, you there?
Oh, yeah. Hi. Sorry. And I might have to run into a meeting here, but thanks for taking the call. Just a couple of quick comment and a question. The comment is, in one of my previous incarnations, I served as chairman of the recycling agency in a county in California. And one of the things we learned, big takeaway, is the easier we make it for folks to recycle, the more recycling we'll get. That sounds pretty simple, but that's why we've gone to things like co-mingling, or in my county we had single stream. But a concern I have is we camp a lot. Our family camps a lot. And a lot of state park campgrounds now have these recycling centers, but they're situated in such a fashion that one has to be leaving the park. So you're already, you know, packed up, you're ready to go. So psychologically, you're on the road. But more importantly, the centers often require you to drive off into a little loop to reach them. And then you might encounter somebody with their 35-foot trailer who's trying to get in there as well. So we've had several occasions where we carted it home, but I'm not so sure that everybody would be of that mindset.
Okay, let's get a response from Jamie Rosenthal about that. So how easy do you try to make it at Recology, for example, to make sure that people just don't have to travel too far to get their stuff in a recycle stream?
Right. I think over the years that we've made great progress in making it easy for people, and we will continue to make progress in especially providing recycling for people in rural areas. It's a work in progress, you know, it takes time, and You know, I think at least because of the bottle bill, if people are leaving their recycled materials behind at a campsite that maybe doesn't have recycling, there are other people that will see that and go, hey, you know, let's take care of that and do the right thing with it and get it recycled.
Jamie, I have seen the argument that since there is curbside recycling and the various bottles and cans could be taken to the curb, that the bottle bill has outlived its usefulness. So politics aside, is this the kind of stream? I mean, could Recology handle that if everybody started putting all their bottles and cans to the curb?
Yeah, of course. You know, today we have great technology in our material recovery facilities, optical sorters that have lasers that sort this material. Certainly, if everyone decided that they wanted to recycle their material, we would find a way to handle it.
Sherilyn Burgess, obviously changes have continued to come to Oregon's bottle bill in recent years. I mean, is there a particular position for the OBRC for whether you're thinking maybe things would be better at curbside down the road or whether you want to stick with this system?
Well, we're big supporters of the bottle bill for a couple of reasons. One, it as Jamie pointed out earlier, it's an iconic piece of legislation that really taught Oregonians, hey, this stuff isn't trash. It can actually be recycled. So it's a really cool legacy. And while curbside obviously is so important and has become so much more robust over the years, the bottle bill still does a good job at reducing litter in Oregon, at capturing those containers that aren't necessarily consumed at home and able to be put in the curbside. So we're supporters of the bottle bill. The upcoming changes are going to be challenging, but we're looking forward to meeting those challenges head on and continuing to make the bottle bill easier for people to use through our bottle drop centers.
Okay, a dime per bottle starting April 1st, and then all containers but milk, wine, and hard liquor added as of January 1st, 2018. Jamie Rosenthal is with Recology Ashland Sanitary as a Waste Zero Specialist. You just heard Sherilyn Burgess, who's with the Oregon Beverage Recycling Cooperative. Sherilyn, thanks so much for joining us today in Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jamie, good to have you in the studio.
It's been great. Thanks.